I'd like to read an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage that bolster this theme of hope. And I took the call to worship from Psalm 33, one of my favorite psalms. And so I am taking this Old Testament reading from the end of Psalm 33, starting in verse 13. So listen to this. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And from Hebrews chapter 6, I want to read to you, starting in verse 13 through the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Carol, I'm going to skip the next hymn for time's sake. And so, if you would open your Bibles to Romans 5, I would like to read Romans 5, 1 through 5 to you. Now listen. Because this is God's word. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Please pray with me. Father, as we come to your word, we realize that what's important tonight is that you speak to us through your word. So will you give me your words to speak? Will you help me to think your thoughts after you through your spirit? In Christ's name, amen. You know, if you cut God out of the picture, I think hope is one of those meaningless words. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, that triumvirate of words at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. three of the most meaningless words in the world. So let's put it in the language of this series that I've been preaching on for quite some time now. If you set up your own kingdom, if you forsake the notion of God, that He's your king, that you are responsible to obey Him, and you say, I'm going to rule my life, I'm going to govern it, I'm going to call the shots, what I want to do is important, faith, hope, and love are going to start to become meaningless. Faith becomes just something that you have when you don't have any scientific evidence. Hope is just wishful thinking for something to happen in the future. And love is just mere preference. You know, you love the sunset or you love this band. But they start to become meaningless. And as I was thinking about this, a song came on, one that has probably been in my music repertoire since the mid-90s, which always sends a shudder down my spine, but probably have no sympathy for me, I know. But anyways, this song is called Fake Plastic Trees, and the author is dealing with this fact that if you are putting your trust in this life, and I doubt he would put it this way, but you can tell that he's wrestling with this idea. If you put your trust in this life alone, all you can hope for is a few good years before it crumbles and dies away. The lyrics go like this. She lives with a broken man, a cracked polystyrene man who just crumbles and burns. He used to do surgery for girls in the 80s, but gravity always wins. So he paints this picture of a man who does plastic surgery, someone who tries to lengthen that time where your body does what you want it to. And he's sitting and looking at this and thinking, what good is it? Because gravity always wins. There is no hope. Because in a closed system where there is no God, hope is meaningless. And so here's the main point of this text in Romans, that our hope is certain because it is rooted in God Himself. And so the converse is true, that life without God, hope cannot, by definition, hope cannot be certain. It's merely wishful thinking. And so I want to look at three parts of this passage, and it's kind of like the past, present, future of hope. Now, past hope sounds ridiculous, but let me explain. Peace with God through justification by faith. Our hope, now that's the first point, our hope is rooted in something that happened in the past. Past hope, in Christ's work on this earth. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's present hope. What has been done in the past means something for us today. This hope is not just looking into the future, it changes us today. And then the last point is that this hope will not put us to shame. That there is a fulfillment to this hope that is coming. We are looking forward in hope to God fulfilling the promises that He's made. So let's look at that, kind of the past, present, future of hope. So like I just said, our hope is rooted in a past event. You know, if Christ was not a real person and did not really, truly come onto this earth and actually do something by nature of being the second person of the Trinity and 100% God and 100% man, then we have no hope. Our hope is rooted in the past. And so Paul mentions that that is what gives us peace with God. Now, I was talking with the youth group on Wednesday, last Wednesday, about the problem of humanity. The number one problem. And I asked them, what is it? What is the absolute number one problem that you face? And at first they're like, I'm not saying that out loud. I said, no. You know, think like a Sunday school answer. That you don't have peace with God. That is the number one problem that humanity is facing. If you truly believe what the Bible says, then you were made to be in relationship with God. And when you are not, you're not being human. Because what it means to be human is to be in a relationship with God. And here we read that we can have peace with God. That what was severed in the fall has been mended. That what was broken has been fixed. Peace with God because what Jesus has done. And when we put our faith in Christ, then we can have that peace with God. I mean, this is one of those, it's the basic principle of the gospel, that we have messed up something that we cannot fix. But I'm convinced that if we just grasp that one point, we would live completely different lives. I mean, think about it. The God of the universe died for you. You know, when we're memorizing John 1, the God who made everything, everything was made through him. Not one thing that was made other than by him. That's a paraphrase. And yet he was willing to give himself up, Jesus Christ, to die for you. There is no more amazing truth. And sometimes I think we hear it so often, we start to tune it out. But it is the most amazing thing that has ever happened to us. And all we have to say is, yeah, I will put my trust in this person, in this God-man. And then you have peace with God. So that's the past of our hope. That something has been done in the past that gives us hope for today. And that's the next point, that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You know, it's a little bit like saying, like the difference of this. You know, Paul Tripp used to say this. Paul Tripp was a professor of mine at Westminster. He writes extensively for CCEF and prolific writer. He says that he has a thing he calls the gospel gap. He says, we look backwards and we're like, yeah, Jesus died for me. Awesome. And I'm going to go to heaven. And then here and now we're a wreck. Because we don't live like the gospel makes any difference in the day-to-day of our lives. And he calls that the gospel gap. He says, so you got this gap, you know, think of it as like a hole in the ground, and what gets thrown in that? You know, a bunch of junk gets thrown in there that we use to try to make it through life, and it doesn't work very well. But Paul is telling us here in Romans 5 that what has happened in the past doesn't just skip to what we hope for in the future. That it's this grace in which we stand. That it changes us for today. I've often tried to probably weakly illustrate it like this. If you found out that maybe you had a rich uncle or even a father who was just rich beyond imagination, and maybe you're newly married and maybe you have kids and you're struggling to make house payments or something like that, or, you know, maybe you're okay, but, oh, how will I ever save for college, and you're pinching pennies, and then you hear that you're due for a huge inheritance. You're not going to live the same way. Maybe you don't go out and buy a Ferrari, but at the very least, you don't worry that you won't be provided for. That you know that someone out there has your interest in mind and they have all the resources necessary to take care of you. That changes you now. And the gospel is like that. It changes you now. We have hope for the present. Now, I wish there was some brilliant formula that said, all you have to do is this. And really, you know, if you're looking at the passage and saying, where's that key? Where are the three steps to happiness and peace and living the perfect life? Well, it's not exactly there. There's nothing, you know, there's no fireworks going off. But this is what we have. We have God's Word. You know, Scripture never uses this term, but it's the means of grace. It's why you're here. Because you're here to have the Word show you this is how you live life. And if you're not in the Word, if you're not praying, you know, partaking in the sacraments like we did this morning, the sacrament of communion, that's how God changes you. That's how He starts to show you, here's how you have hope. But, you know, to be honest, it's a bit of work to be in Scripture, to be going to Him and praying. And sometimes you don't feel like it. But that's how God gives us grace. That's how He changes us in the here and now, through the means of grace, through Scripture, through prayer, through communion with other believers. That's how we stand in this grace. And we're shown that then, you know, nothing in our life is hopeless or meaningless or purposeless. Because He starts talking about suffering. And we start thinking, you know, suffering's bad, we don't want that. But then Paul gives us this chain, suffering. Well, let's back up. We rejoice in our sufferings. knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. You know, a lot could be said about suffering. Scripture even has different reasons it happens. Generally speaking, well, it's the result of the fall. The world itself is cursed, and we sometimes get the brunt of that. We're to expect it as a Christian. You know, the result of being a Christian in a fallen world. Other people lash out at us for being Christians. God uses it to discipline us. But then this passage is saying that suffering produces hope. I was talking about this with Bethany. I said, how does something bad produce something good? What do you say about that? You know, how does something negative produce something positive? Well, suffering reminds us, I think, your hope is not in this world. A C.S. Lewis quote, I think, is instructive in this point. He says in his The Problem of Pain, we can ignore even pleasure. And I think there he means in terms of what pleasure tells us about God. We can ignore that. But pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And I'd say that that's true with a qualification, because if you have pain, there are many different ways you can interpret it. And certainly too many people have looked at pain and said, I can't believe in a God who would do this. How can God be good if he allows this? But here's the difference. When you are in Christ, God's love has been poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. And so the Holy Spirit is what God uses to interpret that pain and that suffering. And then that's when you realize at least one thing he's saying is, don't put your hope in this world, because it's going to turn up empty. It's going to be mere wishful thinking. And so it pulls our wandering hearts back to him and reminds us, your hope is not in this world, it's in Christ. And you need the Holy Spirit to do that. Because apart from him, we would say, yeah, how could a good God allow this? And so that points us towards the future hope, the hope we probably most often think of, hope that will not put us to shame. See, as Christians, we're looking for that conclusion. We're looking for the fulfillment of all the promises that God has given us. You know, just like Hebrews was looking at what Abraham was looking for, he was always looking for God to fulfill that. But he knew it was going to happen because God swore on himself. And so hope is a relationship, is a result of our relationship with God. The only way to have true hope is to have a relationship with the one who does not change and cannot lie. Because everything else in this world is like sinking sand. The true foundation can only be found in Christ. And since the object of hope is God himself, is what God has promised to us, that's how we can have a certain hope. So Paul here, he wants us to anchor ourselves in the hope of the gospel, the promises of God that are fulfilled because of the work of Christ. So we anchor ourselves in the completed work of Christ. We look back and we say, look at what Christ has done. It was effective. It will take care of the biggest problem that we have. It will bring us peace with God. And then that'll change us in this life. Because this hope, as we hold on to it, it will change us. Because the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And then we will wait patiently for that to be fulfilled. Oh, may God grant each one of us that certain hope, that faith to hold on to what Christ has done as we look towards and pray for his consummating of all his promises. And would he help us to stand firm in this hope? Let's pray. Father, when we look back on the work we've done, the best we can say is, well, I hope that was good enough. And if we were to stand in what we've done, all we could say is, I hope this is what we needed. And then looking towards the future, all we would have is wishful thinking apart from you. Father, sometimes we live like that anyways, even though we have you. Father, would you strengthen us through the Holy Spirit to stand in the hope that we have, to stand firm on the work of Christ, his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, standing in our place so that we can stand firm now and look towards the completion of those promises, where we will go to be with you and we will live in perfect relationship with you without any sin to be found, because you will banish it forever. And remind us that, Lord, we live now where the power of sin has been broken. It no longer owns us. Father, we thank you for what Christ has done. Help us to stand in this hope. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.